Morning, Edgewater.
Morning.
All right, let's do this. It's good to see you this morning. Honestly, I'm really glad you're here. I'm glad that you took time to come here to be together on this morning to celebrate with other people. We're really glad you're here. We're glad that you are present. We value you as people, and I want to just encourage you this morning through a particular text in the scripture, but I'd like to open up in prayer. Is that okay? We'll start with prayer, and then we'll see where we go from here. God, we thank you so much for today. Thank you that we're alive, and we're here, and that we're breathing, and that we're together, and whatever we're facing right now, we're here, and we're in this with life. And a lot of people come in with some heavy stuff that they're working through, heavy burdens, things that they're trying to figure out, and I ask that you would meet them exactly where they're at this morning. I thank you that we don't have to have it all figured out, and that you're with us in all things, and that we're in process, we're on a journey of becoming the people that you've created us to be. So we open ourselves up to your spirit this morning, we open ourselves up to you and what you have to say to us, and we ask this in the name of Jesus, amen. Well, I'm going to start this morning by looking at a poem. We're going to be reading a poem out of a book in the New Testament, and it's a letter called A Letter to the Philippians. So this guy, Paul, is writing this letter, and then he kind of goes into this poem. He gets into like this rhythmic cadence and locks it down with a poem. But he's writing from prison. And if you've noticed, some of the best literature, some of the best writing, some of the best poetry comes in times of difficulty. It's like some of the best songs that we resonate with, they come out of pain, they come out of heartache, because we start to resonate with that as well. That's like our story, and a lot of us who have lived long enough know about pain. If you haven't experienced pain, you just haven't lived long enough. So at some point, you're going to face something that you don't know what to do with, and it's going to hurt, and how do we process, and how do we move through that? So we're going to read a poem this morning out of Philippians, and it's going to be printed behind me, and I'm going to ask you to read it with me. Does that work? Can everybody do that with me? And if you don't want to, that's fine too. But if we could stand one more time and read this together out loud, that would be helpful. So follow along with me as we kind of lock into this cadence together. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. All right, you may be seated. So if you were listening to the children's sermon, and what was that word again? Was it pupa? Pupa. Yeah. Pupa sounds better than pupa, right? So this whole image in the children's sermon of death gives way to life. And that's a pattern that we see in the world. We see it in nature. We see it throughout the very fabric of the universe, that death gives way to life. Things have to die, then they come back to life. And things spring forth to life, but there's an ending process to that. They die and then they come back to life. It's a pattern that we see. And what we see in this poem is a certain pattern that Jesus had chosen to take upon himself. Death gives way to life. But in order to experience life, he had to go through death. Now behind me, there's going to be some images. And I want you to participate with me for a moment. I want you just to throw out statements. I don't need a dissertation from you this morning, but just statements. Ideas. What do these images bring up in you? Just maybe a few comments. What do you see? Pain? Who said that? Thank you. Pain. What else? What would you? Who?
Love.
What else? Hope. Freedom.
Sacrifice.
Come on now. Say it again. Humiliation. Thank you. Absolutely. Injustice. Redemption.
Prayer.
Prayer. comfort. Now, in the passage we read, it said Jesus became human and he stayed human. And all the words you just slung out were part of what it means to be human, part of the human experience, redemption, pain, hope. There's kind of all mixed in there, and that's the beauty of the expression. Now, in the first century, as Paul is writing this poem, what would people have thought about that image? That image comes from the Latin word crux, and that Latin word crux is actually a highly offensive word. So to even say crux out loud would have been considered profane. They wouldn't have uttered it. They wouldn't have said it. Even the Romans themselves, who invented crucifixion, wouldn't have said the word because it represented humiliation and shame. It was kind of that picture of the ultimate humiliation, the ultimate shame. This is death. This is what happens to anyone who gets on the wrong side of power. If you stand up against power, if you stand up against a system that's in charge and in control, they will crush you. And so Jesus finds himself on the other side of this power, and his life leads to this death, death on a crux. So this word crux is not something that was to be used lightly. And what Paul says is he says, now listen, all of us who have said yes to Jesus, all of us who have said, I'm all in with Christ. Whatever Christ says, however he chooses to live, wherever he goes, I'm following him. I'm all in with Jesus. And then we see the pattern. All right, if that's where you're at, that leads to death. That's a downward mobility. The way up is actually down. And what Paul continues to spin out is that actually in this way of living, weakness is actually strength. And what seems like strength actually isn't. And he turns it and flips it upside down. And then Paul has the audacity to continue on and attach another word to this word, crux. If you look at verses 9 through 11, let's read that together and you can just stay seated. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever so, that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. So what is really incredible to me is that Paul takes this highly offensive word and attaches it to this other word, exaltation. So he takes crux, that which is profane, offensive, and he attaches it to exaltation. And he says, actually, the way of crux, the way down, the way of death, God will exalt that. He'll take that and he'll bring that up into a position of power. Now, we can feel the tension of that because everyone knows you're not supposed to take something that's profane and attach it to something that's so sacred. But Paul throws it out. He says, actually, crux is the way of Christ, because it leads to exaltation. But it's God is the one who exalts, not man. He says crux actually leads to life. Death gives way to life. Now, how can this be? God taking humiliation, taking shame, rejection, and then turning that around for something beautiful and good, springing hope into the universe. Now, as Paul is writing this, he's writing up against kind of a portrait of Rome. And Rome is run by these guys called the Caesars. And the Caesars had the ultimate power trip. They were the image and the picture of what actual power looks like. The Caesars were large and in charge. They were sent from the heavens above down to earth. They were God in the flesh, and so they thought. And so they were giving us a picture that if you address us as Lord and God, everything will go well for you. Paul refuses this. Paul says, I'm not going to address you as Lord and God. Jesus is Lord. And he keeps saying this over and over again. And what happens then with Paul is he finds himself on the other side of power. And what seems like crux is actually leading to Paul's salvation. It's leading to his exaltation, this pattern of life. And what Paul is spinning out here, and the reason why I think Paul is able to say this with a level of confidence that he can say this, is because of resurrection. He knows that not only did the resurrection happens. And that's something that we say around here at Edgewater quite a bit. We believe that the resurrection happened 2,000 years ago. Yes, but you know what, friends? Resurrection still happens today, and it continues to happen, and it's continuing to spin into the universe. Things that are dying are coming to life, and we're witnessing that. We're watching lives, we're watching marriages, we're watching people who are in shambles come to life in Christ, because we believe that what seems like crux and what seems like the end actually leads to exaltation, and something is coming into reality. Resurrection happens. And what Paul is saying here is, listen, it seems like Caesar is holding all the cards, like he's in charge. But in reality, Caesar does not hold the final word. Jesus holds the final word. And for all of us who are facing some Caesars, or we're facing something in life that appears to be a gigantic obstacle, what Paul is reminding us is that even though it seems like this is the end and you're not going to be able to break through this thing, exaltation is just around the corner. And it's coming because resurrection happens. And that's the reality of life. And then we see in Jesus, him taking on human form and yet completely God in a bod, right? God in the flesh. He became human, and the text said he stayed human, which tells me that God values humanity so much that he's willing to commit his entire self to humanity and stay with us in the mess. We have a God who doesn't abandon us, but stays with us in it. Doesn't necessarily remove us from it, but he stays with us in it. And what I see in Jesus is a God who stayed the course, went all the way through it, and then came out the other side. And that's the invitation for us this morning. What seems like crust, my encouragement to you is to stay in it. Keep going. You can do this. You got this. Keep moving, because exaltation is just around the corner. Because not only did resurrection happen, it happens. That's a bumper sticker waiting to happen, isn't it? It happens. Very good. Because resurrection is coming. So we can boldly proclaim around here in Pittsburgh, Concord, and Antioch, and Contra Costa County, that resurrection is happening all around us. And what Paul is saying here, the essence of what he's saying, because it will blow your mind, is that whatever you're facing, whatever seems like crux, which seems impossible, what feels like it's always going to be this way. Am I talking to anybody in the room? You feel like this isn't going to change. It's always going to be like this. What seems like it's always going to be like this is actually going to be exalted because of resurrection. That's what we believe. And we hold on to that. Even in the tension, even when it feels like it's not going to resolve, we believe exaltation is coming. Keep going. Keep pushing through. So, to the woman this morning in this room who feels disconnected from her spouse, from life, to the woman who feels alienated and alone and in despair, can I remind you of something? Exaltation is coming for you. God is with you, even in this. Exaltation is coming. Divorce is not the final word over your life. It does not hold the final word over you or mark you with humiliation and shame, because exaltation is coming. Keep going all the way through it. Push through, and I guarantee you, God will be with you in the mess, in the mix. Stay the path. Keep walking through, because resurrection is coming for you too. Stay the course. God's got you. And in this moment, whatever you're facing, it may feel like crux, but can I remind you of something? Exaltation is coming. It's coming. That's right. Amen. That's probably a good spot for an amen. I need a little something back. Amen. Nothing is too difficult for us to stay true and to continue moving through that. Knowing that whatever it is that I'm walking through, I'm learning more and more about myself. I'm learning as I'm walking through this pain. I'm learning as I surround myself with other people who are helping me process this pain, that there's something on the other side of it. There's life. There's exaltation. There's resurrection. And it's coming for you. Divorce does not have the final word. Jesus does. Addiction does not have the final word over your life. It does not. Exaltation is coming, and God gives us the courage and the strength to admit, I do not have control over this. So God, here I am, opening myself up to you to say, do with me what you will. I'm all in. Teach me, lead me, direct me. Friends, exaltation is coming because resurrection happens over and over again. We would love for you to join us on this journey. Wherever you're at in your journey, in your process, whatever you believe, wherever you are at on your spiritual journey, this is a good place for you to join others who are on a journey of trying to figure this stuff out, because we don't have it all figured out. We don't have all the answers, and we're working on it together, and we're working on spinning this stuff out together, humbly admitting, God, we don't know everything, but we know that you hold the final word, and we believe that exaltation is coming. So we're committed to your process. So wherever you're at on your journey, this community here is committed to helping you grow. That's why we're here. We want to be the presence of Jesus in the world. We believe in people. We believe that humanity is precious, that life is precious. And we want to see you grow and become the person that God has created you to be. All of it. We want to see that, and we're excited about that because we believe exaltation is coming. Now, with that word, the choir is going to come up, and they're going to spin something out that they have worked on very hard. So if you want to take out your cards and follow along as they sing through this beautifully written poem about the kingdom of life that we find in Jesus. And Father, once again, we say thank you, and we're opening ourselves up to hear more from you through this song, through this poem. We're in with you, Jesus, and we say yes to life. We say yes to you. We say yes to all that you have for us. Continue to lead us now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I don't know what you're walking into this afternoon, but whatever family dynamic it is, may God be with you in it. You keep going. You can do this. You got this, because exaltation is coming. Just stay the course. Keep moving through and know that God is with you. And may the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with all of you.
Also with you.
Thank you. God bless you.